This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we'll examine the significance of the head nod in Black culture. We'll tell you about Johnson Control's plans to move out of downtown Milwaukee. The latest Bubbler Talk explores the annexation of the village of Granville. And we'll tell you about a new court interpreter training program in Milwaukee. But first, Milwaukee is known as one of the worst places to live as a Black person. The city has one of the largest achievement gaps between white and Black students, staggering rates of incarceration and poverty, and it's often cited as the most segregated area in the nation. Milwaukee native Tyshawn Wardlaw wanted to highlight the stories behind these statistics. Her documentary, Growing Up Milwaukee, follows three Black teens struggling as they come of age in the city. The film also features community leaders and local organizations working to improve the lives of young Black Milwaukeeans and break the cycle so many find themselves in. The film debuted on HBO Max this month, and Wardlaw joins Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to share more. Wardlaw begins by explaining how the project came to be.
The premise of the doc was actually created 4 years ago when I decided that, you know what, unfortunately, a lot of staggering statistics are coming out of Milwaukee in the Black community, from Milwaukee being the Black place for Blacks to actually live at in the United States as a city, for the incarceration rate, for economic disparities, just all of these things that were happening in the Black community. And so I set out to be able to tell the stories behind those statistics. But I also wanted to do it from the youth perspective, because I know that the youth are our future, you know, depending on, you know, it doesn't matter what city they're in, you know, eventually they're going to grow up to be tomorrow's leaders and, you know, potentially also guide the way for what's happening in their community. So with that being said, I set out 4 years ago to actually be able to tell these stories. So back then we didn't have funding yet or anything. It was just the ideal. I was just actually starting my television production company here locally in Milwaukee at the time as well, just getting my name out there. And I was actually able to put, and I hate to say casting call, but for lack of a better word, because I know it's not a narrative or a feature film, but I did allow, just to go to nonprofits, but youth-based organizations to say, hey, do you have any youth where we're doing this documentary that you think would be great for us to talk to, that would love to kind of, you know, share their truths and their stories about what it means for them to grow up in the city? And at the time, like I said, we was just concept 4 years ago. But 2 years ago, actually going on three now that we're in 2021, I was able to get our first round of funding to actually start filming. And at that moment, when I got the funds, it was like everything started to come together, kind of what I mentioned, that it was just so purposeful, where when I was actually speaking to a few youth organizations, they happened to have individuals that I felt with Brandon Marquell and Tiana that would fit in what I thought would be relevant to, you know, going behind some of the statistics. So prime example, Tiana was a teen mom. Like, she was literally aging out of the group home system. She had a child at the age of 14. And then also Brandon was just literally getting out of, you know, being incarcerated as a teen and being put into a group home. And then Marquell was just dealing with all that he was dealing with internally at home, as well as having mentors actually in his life even before we met. So I felt that that would be a great fit. And then they were all willing, you know, to be able to share their truths with us at that time. So it just happened exactly how it needed to happen. And I was just so grateful that they allowed me to be able to film with them for 2 years.
Yeah, and 2 years is a long time, and it's not uncommon for documentaries, you know, to have that kind of relationship. But how did you build trust with them, and also within the shared spaces they take you? Because there's a lot of great group scenes, whether it's at Vincent High School or other organizations, where there's a lot of other kids sharing their stories too and being as vulnerable.
Yeah, and I think, once again, I was very fortunate. And sometimes we even had our own issues with the youth, where they were like, you know what, I just don't want to film today. And I'm like, but we're coming. Like, you know, we have to film. And they're like, no, we don't. Not today. So, you know, we did have our moments where, you know, they just like, I just don't want to share today. So I had to be respectful. And I think that's how the relationship worked, that you know, when it was time to film, they were more than willing, you know, to let us in, even if it was painful, because we had some painful moments where there was probably some things they didn't want to share. You know, I'm embarrassed I got kicked out of school. You know, we kind of had to pry teeth a little bit to even be able to get the full story out. But, you know, he shared that truth, you know, and you could tell that he was, you know, kind of remorseful, like, man, you know, I messed up or I didn't want to let anybody down. But it's about your growth and it's about, you know, you going through the process because it's your life. So I'm really thankful for them even being able to allow us in. And then even when we were in those moments with some of the teens where, you know, they weren't the featured youth in the film, but, you know, they were in a safe place in those moments that those school provided, that they were even though the camera was there, they still did not hold back their truth.
Mm-hmm. And are you yourself a Milwaukee native?
So I am. So I am a Milwaukee native where I grew up in Milwaukee. I am a self-proclaimed floater, for a lack of a better word, because I did leave Milwaukee. I left Milwaukee right out of high school to attend college at Santa Clara University in California. So I was gone for 4 years, moved back with anticipation on working in Chicago, and then kind of went into the news industry here, and then left and moved back out to California to work in the talk show world, and then moved back to Chicago to work in the talk show world and also do some producing work in the industry there. And then that's when about 5 years ago, I decided, you know what, I want to tell stories about what's happening right here in my hometown. And so I became a little bit more stationary, but we do have an office that's also opening in Chicago this spring. So we're excited to kind of create our footprint there as well and be a Midwest-based production company between both cities. But, you know, Milwaukee is always home. I might end up on the moon eventually, but, you know, Milwaukee's home, and I really care about what's happening in the city that I was born and raised in.
Filmmaking is such a powerful tool to share with people what is going on, connecting and creating empathy, because so many people in Milwaukee, their growing up Milwaukee is not what's being shown in your film. And with filmmaking, and especially getting picked up by HBO Max, and congratulations on that, by the way, what kind of work did you do to distribute this film? Because it is such a powerful connector. And ultimately, as a filmmaker, that is the goal, to get as many people as you can to see it.
Yeah, and I think, and I've been very fortunate. And when I decided that I wanted to tell the story about what was happening in Milwaukee, I thought nationally. I had no doubt in my mind that what I wanted to tell, I didn't know exactly how it was going to turn out, who was going to be in it, but I knew that it was important to get what was happening in our city on a national level and get behind those stories and to make an impact on a national and international level. So I feel like everything just really came into place, where sometimes it's like, it kind of sounds generic and like a Hollywood ending story, but I have no other way but to put it that it just all continued to unfold in all of the power that it needed to. Over time, as we were filming, the people we met with, like everybody was where they needed to be, including the distribution of it. Because prime example, we did literally start wrapping the film at the end of like 2019 going into 20. And I knew, of course, you know, that I wanted to get that film out in 2020. Like everyone else, we didn't know that the world was going to literally shut down and change as we know it going into 2020. So I believe that I was kind of setting myself up with having a really good rough edit and then being able to aggressively actually get the film out as a director and producer to different networks. I was just aggressively reaching out to networks, you know, letting them know that the film was done, providing them with screeners. So I did actually have the opportunity to have a few different networks actually have interest and offers. And I felt that HBO Max at the time would be a great fit. I think I made the right choice. I feel comfortable with what I did.
In Growing Up Milwaukee, you feature local leaders and also people just being mentors or also just fighting to make Black lives in Milwaukee better. And what struck me the most is that so much of their work is making sure young people simply know their worth, their talents, their potential. You know, it's their sense of hopelessness is kind of really resounding in the film, and the kids are just fighting to not get completely dragged down. So with the title Growing Up Milwaukee, what does it mean to you as the director, and what do you hope it means for the audience after they see this? Because growing up Milwaukee after watching it, you know, it shows a lot of struggle, but also a lot of resilience.
I think it was my initial ideal as well and especially in the editing process, was to come to an audience where they could say, you know what, all hope isn't lost. Because as you said, like, there are certain levels of trauma that people weren't, you know, aware that some of the youth are facing, or they actually might have faced that, you know, a portion of that or a little piece of that in their own lives. So it resonated with them, even on a personal level. But yet I want people to walk away that all hope isn't lost. Milwaukee is a lot of things as far as statistics, but we're not hopeless. So I was hoping that people would walk away with that sense, and also that it would potentially be a call of action for people to even say, like, hey, what could I do, or how can I get involved? Whether that was on a resource level, you know, with reaching out to different youth organizations, or even, you know, starting up a youth and grassroots organization on your own. But however that would inspire you to actually want to continue to implement change. But I think that it all should resonate with people that we're all going to go through something, but yet, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Or there's people, as we saw that was in the film, that are out there that are helping create a new narrative and change the narrative that people are currently being, you know, shown about the cities.
Yeah, as you said, there's a lot of indications of the community healers, leaders, but a lot of other people here in Milwaukee have to step up too, and that's everyone from your neighbor to city officials. And one thing that was said in your film by a local expert is that Milwaukee is not willing to look at the realities of our city. And as a native, I agree with that. And you mentioned changing the narrative. So how do we go from the smaller scale to getting city leaders and state leaders and getting changes to policy funding to address the inequities impacting people's lives that keeps them trapped in this narrative, in this cycle?
Sometimes it's not just kind of throwing money at the problems, because once again, the problems won't go. But don't get me wrong, funding and resources definitely count, and they give opportunities for things to grow, but actually coming up with solutions to the problem, and not to saying that we're not doing that. But I think, you know, even in legislation, like, continuously, we know these problems exist, but how can we be a solution to it? Whether that's funding, whether that's, you know, creating manpower, whether that's creating just different levels of support that would help continue to make things better. And I think we all have to have our hands in it. And it starts from the top. And it's step by step. Things aren't going to change overnight. Just because, you know, I created a film that kind of highlights some of these things. And, you know, fortunately, it's being able to be seen on a national platform doesn't mean that people are going to pick up and, you know, start running and changing things. But I do hope that, you know, there is a sense of urgency to continue working on things that people have already been doing and or starting to implement a new plan and new solutions to some of these same existing problems that we've had for many years.
Well, Growing Up Milwaukee is certainly a powerful film, now available on HBO Max for everyone to see. Tyshawn, I want to thank you so much for not only making it, but of course, taking the time to speak with me about it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Tyshawn Wardlaw is the director and producer of the documentary Growing Up Milwaukee, which debuted this month on HBO Max. The film can also be rented on Milwaukee Film's digital platform until the 28th as part of their Black History Month program. Wardlaw spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski,